Notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote to the Lord of all that he has, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to tell you, as we look at chapter 27 here, this is the last chapter in the book of Leviticus, so we're moving on to the New Testament next week. But I want you to know that on your own time, maybe when you go home today, you should read the entire chapter of 27 to make sense of everything that I'm going to be talking about. I'll be referring to it here and there as we go through, but it would make more sense to you probably to take the whole thing as a whole, chapter 27. But we are talking about vows. Now, there was a little girl whose parents were both police officers, and she was playing wedding with her Barbie and her G.I. Joe. Well, Barbie took her vows to honor and cherish, and then G.I. Joe took his vows, and they went like this. I have the right to remain silent. Anything I say may be used against me. Let's look at vows this morning. By way of introduction, making vows to God in desperate situations is common. People get in a pinch, people get in a bind, and they make promises to God. They make vows to God. That is common. It's even biblical. For instance, before Jacob confronted his brother Esau, he made a vow to God. He said, get me out of this jam. When Israel was fighting in Canaan, they made a vow again, saying, help us have victory here. How about Jonah inside the big fish? You've heard that story. He was inside the fish, and he made a vow to God. He said, get me out of here, and I'll serve you. And we know that he later on did. And maybe you've even done so. Maybe you've been in a desperate situation. Maybe you've been in a bind, and you've made a vow to God. God, if you get me out of this bind, if you get me out of this situation, I will serve you, or I will do this, or I will do that. Just remember this when you're making vows to God. People are in no position to bargain with God. People are in no position to bargain with God. So if you're trying to say, well, God, do this for me and I'll do that for you, people are in no position to bargain with God, because bargaining requires each side offering something to the other. But when you think about it, we have nothing to offer God. We have nothing. We are finite, sinful humans. We don't truly own anything. What are you going to offer God? There's no bargaining with God. Even so, we see that people do make vows to God in desperate situations, and that's common. But vows are also made in non-desperate situations. For instance, marriage, as I mentioned before, marriage, that's a vow made in a non-desperate situation. Or vowing children. We call it in the Baptist church child dedication, but you're vowing that child to God. Maybe you vow in gratefulness. You just feel so grateful to God and you make a promise to Him. Or maybe it's during a time of worship and you feel so close to God and you make a vow, you make a promise to Him through worship. I will tell you, I have never vowed in desperation. I've never vowed in desperation, but I did vow never to drink alcohol, and it was in a worship service. So I was in a worship service and I was worshiping God, and it came time to commit something to God, and I committed, and that was so many years ago, but I said, I will never drink alcohol in my life. And that was the case. Not only that, I vowed to enter full-time ministry in a worship service. So it was a worship service, and the invitation was given, and I went forward, and I said, I want to give my life to ministry for the rest of my life. And so again, making vows to God in desperate situations is common, but we can also make vows to God in non-desperate situations. But either way, here in chapter 27 of Leviticus, whether it was desperate or non-desperate, either way, these voluntary vows in Leviticus 27 were above the expected tithes and offerings. So the people were already expected to give their tithes. They were already expected to give their offerings. And then these vows here in chapter 27 were over and above what was expected. Tithes are also addressed in this chapter as a reminder. If you look in verse 30, it says the tenth of the crops belonged to God. And then in verse 32, it says every tenth animal belonged to God. So God didn't want people to get confused, saying, well, maybe I don't have to make this vow because I already tithe. Well, no, their tithes and offerings were already expected. This would be over and above those tithes and offerings. So he puts that reminder in here just to make sure. But perhaps you're wondering why this morning, why the Israelites would want to give additionally over and above what was expected of them. They were expected to tithe, they were expected to give an offering, and now this is an opportunity in chapter 27 where they can give over and above, and you're saying, well, why would they even want to do that? Maybe because of that we have trouble relating to them. Maybe we can't relate to them because we're not as committed as they were. Maybe we have trouble relating to them because we're not as committed as we should be. Maybe we are not overwhelmed with God's goodness and grace as they were. Maybe we're not overwhelmed by God's goodness and grace as we should be. And so when we hear these people are giving way more than they had to, we're thinking, why would they do that? Maybe we need to check our commitment level. Maybe we need to check our worship level. We should be overwhelmed by God's goodness and God's grace. So the law here allowed for these vows here in chapter 27, but actually made them expensive to discourage their abuse. And so if you read chapter 27 on your own, you'll see there's monetary values that are given throughout. And so the law allowed for these vows, but made them expensive. So people wouldn't just flippantly say, yeah, I'm going to vow to God. They realized it would be very expensive for them to do so. The law allowed for retracting these vows also, but attached a 20% penalty for doing so. Now, why would God allow that? That somebody make a vow to him and then allow for them to pull it back and say, no, I don't mean that anymore. Well, that's the Bible's recognizing human frailty. That's God acknowledging human impulsiveness, that we might be in a situation where we say, just get me out of this jam, impulsively. Even so, God takes our vows very seriously. So maybe we need to go back and say, well, what is a vow anyway? What is a vow? Well, by definition, a vow is a binding promise to behave in a certain manner or perform a certain act. A binding promise to behave in a certain manner or perform a certain act. And we are told in the scriptures not to vow to God hastily. Don't do it thoughtlessly or hastily. In fact, the Bible says if you make a commitment, keep it. Look here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning in verse 4. When you vow a vow to God, defer not to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. Not only that, the Bible goes on to say, as I told the children, it is better not to commit than to make a commitment and not keep it. Look at the rest of this. Better is it that thou should not vow than thou shouldst vow and not pay. Now, one thing we don't do here at First Baptist Church is promote emotionalism. We don't promote emotionalism. That is because the Christian faith is rational, so Christian vows and commitment should also be rational. There are churches that get people all riled up with their music, get people all riled up with the message, and they tug at their heartstrings and so on, and they get people all emotional, and then based on that heightened emotional state, people will make commitments, make vows to God. We don't do that here. We don't do that here. You might say, yeah, Brother Gary, because you're boring. Well, that might be why, but we don't do that. Because the Christian faith is rational, and Christian commitment should be rational as well. But again, God takes our vows very seriously. First of all, our vows we make to him. Our vows we make to him. Look here at Deuteronomy 23:21. When you shall vow a vow unto the Lord your God, you shall not slack to pay it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in you. He takes very seriously our vows to him. Also our vows to each other. He takes those seriously. And Jesus taught we are to keep our vows. If you make a promise, do it. Here in Matthew 5:37, he says, but let your communication be yes, yes, no, no, for whatsoever is more than these comes of evil. You see, God will hold us accountable for our every vow, even as he holds himself accountable for his every vow. And here's the good news about God. God keeps his vows. He keeps his vows. He's made many vows to us, many promises, one of which is he's never going to destroy the earth by water again, completely destroy the earth by flood again. And he is keeping that vow. Yes, there have been floods, but there's never been another worldwide flood, and there won't be. How do I know? Because God promised it. He's also vowed to meet our daily needs. He's also promised our eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Once Jesus saves you, you're saved forever. You're eternally secure. These are God's promises, and we can bank on them because God keeps his vows. God has never broken one or even considered breaking one. You know why? Because one broken vow would invalidate all that God is. One broken promise. If he broke just one, he's made lots of promises, but if he broke just one, that would invalidate all that he is. We could no longer trust him. We could no longer trust his word. Well, he promised me this, but he broke his promise. Now he promised me something else. Is he going to keep it? I don't know. We could no longer trust him. We could no longer trust his word. And by the way, you and I run the same risk when we don't keep our vows and we don't keep our promises. Because people say, well, I don't know. He promised me he'd do this, but he broke one before. How do I know he's not going to break another one? We must keep our vows. We must keep our vows. Again, the Bible says, rather than breaking a vow, just don't make one at all. But if you make one, you better keep it. The proper functioning of society requires that people keep our vows. If you think about it, our daily lives are a series of vows. For instance, your work and paycheck between employee and employer. I don't know if you ever thought about it or not, but you don't get paid after each hour you work. You don't get paid after each day you work. You probably get paid at the end of the week or every 2 weeks or every month, whatever your pay scale is. I don't know what it is, but that's how it works. And so essentially, you're working for free until your paycheck comes. What if your employer just decides, I'm not going to pay it? Well, that's going to really affect you, isn't it? Of course it is. And so your employer has made a promise to you, I'm going to pay you. You've made a promise to your employer, I'm going to work for you. And then everything works out, like I said, every week, every 2 weeks, every month, whatever it is. How about diners and restaurant owners? Now, I'm not talking about fast food, but you go sit down in a nice restaurant. Do they charge you before you order? No. You order, they're promising to feed you. You're promising when you're done eating, you're going to pay them. What if everybody just went to the restaurant and ate and then just left? Well, that restaurant would go out of business, right? So they promise to feed you, you promise to pay them. That's the way it works. If one or the other breaks their vow, society won't function properly. And so our daily lives are a series of vows, a series of promises, and we must keep our promises. But I'm here to tell you, we take our vows and our promises way too lightly today. We promise all kind of stuff that we never intend to keep. Maybe it's appointments at the doctor or something else. We make an appointment, and then we don't even think about it. We forget about it. Sometimes you do forget, but I keep appointments for myself, my wife, my mom, my dad, and sometimes I forget a few. But that's not on purpose. But a lot of people make appointments, they just don't keep them. Our financial obligations. People run up bills and then they never pay what they owe. Even church membership. I don't know if you know this. Have you ever read the constitution of this church, First Baptist Church of La Plata? Our constitution says when you join the church, you're going to do three things. You're going to attend services. We have hundreds of people that are not fulfilling this vow. You will give financially and you will participate in our organized work. That's what our constitution says, and that's long before I got here. People take their church membership lightly. We've all heard the stats on marriage, how people take their marriage vows lightly. There is a 50% divorce rate even among so-called born-again believers. Now, I know in marriage sometimes one spouse wants to keep the vows and the other one doesn't. I know that works that way sometimes. But what about our salvation? The most important thing, as I was telling the children, the most important thing, being saved. Do you realize salvation is more than just going to heaven and avoiding hell? It is going to heaven and avoiding hell, but it's more than that. When we are saved, we make a commitment to holiness, service, and discipleship. Jesus put it this way in Luke 9:62. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. It's not just about going to heaven and avoiding hell. It's an absolute total commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's my introduction to vows. Let's actually get into the text now that you're going to read later, Leviticus chapter 27. First of all, I want us to look at animate vows. Animate vows. Someone may want to devote something living to God. They may want to devote something living to God, starting with people. They may want to devote a person to God. Maybe it's themselves. They want to devote themselves to God. Or maybe it's another person. I like that. Like, I don't want to make the commitment. I'm going to devote Ken to the Lord. You know, that's kind of nice. But, you know, Hannah did this with Samuel. If you know your Old Testament, here in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11, she committed her child to the Lord. That was somebody else. It says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto your handmaid a man child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So you could devote yourself to God, making one of these vows, or you could devote somebody else to God. Now, when it came to serving in the tabernacle, we know that only a male Levite could serve in the tabernacle. So a female or a male from another tribe could not serve in the tabernacle. But maybe they want to. Maybe they just had this overwhelming desire because of God's goodness and grace, and they just want to say, you know, I want to help out with the formal worship of God. Well, a female or a male from another tribe could not serve in the tabernacle, but they could still help the Levites. Kind of like committee work here at First Baptist Church. A lot of you are on different committees. You know, People might think the pastor runs a church. The pastor doesn't run the church. There's too much going on. The pastor couldn't possibly run the church. We have all kinds of folks that serve on committees that help do all the work of the church. And so it's kind of like that. In this example, I would be the Levite. But all you people that help and are on committees and so on, you're like either, in this case, the female or a male from another tribe that is still helping out but could not actually serve in the tabernacle. So a female or a male from another tribe could still help the Levites, or if you read the text, they could pay a monetary value instead. I thought about that too. Perhaps a lady today wants to dedicate her life to ministry. A lady wants to dedicate her life to full-time ministry. Now, we know she is not biblically qualified to be a pastor, but there are plenty of other ways for this lady to serve in full-time ministry. People could devote something living to God, whether it's themselves or another person. I also want to point out, when you read this later, beginning in verse 3, verses 3 to 7, you'll notice different valuations are given for different people. So it says a man is worth this much, a woman is worth this much, a child is worth this much. And rather than let you get confused about that, different valuations are given for different people. But this just goes to show that human life is valuable. And that is why human life must be protected at all stages and at all costs. And please remember that when you vote this November, that life must be protected at all stages and at all costs. So, someone may want to devote a person to God. But we're still talking about animate vows. Somebody may want to vote an animal to God. They could devote a clean animal to be sacrificed, or they could devote an unclean animal, verse 11 says, an unclean animal. Now, this unclean animal could be used by the priest or could be sold by the priest, depending on what they wanted to do. But what I want to point out is in verse 10, and that is that the people could not swap bad for good. So in other words, they promise God their best, and then they deliver him the worst. Look what it says in verse 10. He shall not alter it for change, or change it, a good for a bad, or a bad for a good. And if he shall at all change beast for beast, then it and the exchange thereof shall be holy. So the person says, I'm going to give God this animal my best. And then when it comes down time to do it, he actually gives the worst. God says, in that case, you got to give both now. You got to give both. So you lose either way. You lose either way. You could not swap bad for good. Dedicate the best, but deliver the worst. We may be guilty of this too. We promise God our best, don't we? I can't imagine there's anybody that makes a promise to God and says, God, I just want to give you, you know, I just got something here. It's not really worth anything. It's just kind of silly, but I'm going to give it to you. We promise God our best. But so often we offer him our leftovers. Remember, God wants what's right, not what's left. And so people could vow an animate offering, something living. But they could also vow an inanimate offering, something that's not living. Now, the first thing is mentioned is in verse 14, and that is a house. Let me read it. And when a man shall sanctify his house to be holy to the Lord, then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad, as the priest shall estimate it, so shall it stand. I heard of a man who had an extra house, and he wanted his pastor to use it whenever the pastor wanted it. Well, the pastor told him, look, I already have my own house, and I have an office at church. So the pastor suggested the man give the monthly rent value to the church. That's kind of in the spirit of Leviticus 27 here. Well, the man might want to give his house. Somebody might want to devote their land. Look in verse 16. And if a man shall sanctify the Lord some part of a field of his possession, then thy estimation shall be according to the seed thereof. A homer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. And so somebody could give their house, devote their house, could give their land. In our case, the Schneiders, we dedicated our business to God. We dedicated our business to God. We actually started an ice cream truck back in 2005 in the Pittsburgh area. We started an ice cream truck. Now, we always lived in the country, so our children had never actually seen an ice cream truck. In fact, the first ice cream truck they ever saw was the one that they operated. And if you know Becky Booker here, Becky grew up working on this ice cream truck. We drove her all over the place selling ice cream. But here's how we devoted this business to God. We started by choosing a theme Bible verse. We put it on our truck. We put it on our t-shirts. We put it on our stationery. And it was Psalm 34, verse 8. You might see it under the window there. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." So when people saw that, they knew either one of two things. We were either Christians or Jewish, one or the other, because Psalm is, of course, it's out of the Old Testament. But we broadcasted it that way. Not only that, we tithed our business income to Christian causes. And because this was a business that we started with our children, we let them choose the ministries to which they would donate the tithe from this business. And lastly, while we were out selling ice cream, we passed out Bibles and tracts along the route. So we took this business, and it was a business to make money, and it made money. But we dedicated it to the Lord. It was an inanimate thing, but we dedicated it to the Lord. So we've seen the animate vows. Somebody might want to devote something living to God. We see the inanimate vows. They might want to devote something non-living to God. But lastly, I want us to look at the ultimate. The ultimate. God made the ultimate vow. He made the ultimate vow. Now remember, somebody could dedicate a person. Well, Jesus is a person, a man. Also, people could dedicate an animal. Well, symbolically, Jesus is an animal. He's called the Lamb of God. He's called the Lion of Judah. Now, the Lamb of God, we can understand that. A lamb was a clean animal, and because he was considered a clean animal in symbol, he could substitute for us. He could sacrifice for us. But do you realize the Old Testament says a lion is an unclean animal? Now, how is it that Jesus would be unclean? Well, he's not. But he identified as the Lion of Judah, an unclean animal. You know why? To identify with us. To identify with us, because we are unclean. We are sinners, every one. And so, God made the ultimate vow. Jesus is a person, a man. Symbolically, Jesus is an animal, the lamb, the lion. A man could dedicate a house. Jesus gave us a house. He said in John 14:2, "I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And since I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And lastly, Jesus is not land, because somebody could devote land too. He's not land, but he is a crop. What do you grow on land? You grow crops. He's a crop. How so? He said, "I am the bread of life." Where do you get bread? From wheat. He said, "I'm the bread of life." And not only that, you don't want your land to be squishy. You want solid land. And Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians 10:4, is the rock. He's the rock. And so God made the ultimate vow based on Leviticus 27 here. Jesus is a man. Jesus symbolically is an animal. Jesus gave us a house. Jesus is not land, but he is a crop and he is the rock. But God not only made the ultimate vow, God paid the ultimate vow. Unlike us, sometimes we make a vow that we don't keep. We promise something and then we break the promise. Not God. He made the ultimate vow and he paid the ultimate vow. Not in money, but with his own life. God gave himself completely and totally for us. Now, God has given literally everything to us. Literally, God has given everything to us. He's given us life. He's given us health. He's given us family. He's given us income. He's given us salvation. Those of you who are saved, you know what I'm talking about. You've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, that he was buried for your sins, that he rose again the third day. And anybody who receives Christ as Savior will be saved, will be forgiven, will be heaven bound. God has given us literally everything, everything. How could we not devote something valuable to him in return? How can we not? Every single thing you have is from God. Everything. How can you not devote something valuable to him in return? So my question for you this morning in the invitation is, what will you dedicate to God? What will you vow to God today? Will you dedicate your life to him? Will you dedicate your family to him? Will you dedicate your career to him? Will you dedicate your talents to him? Will you dedicate your material possessions to him? I don't know how God is working in your heart and in your life, but I know this. Every single thing you have literally has come from God. How can you not devote something valuable to him in return? So think about this. What will you dedicate to God? Now, I've given you a few examples from my own life, how we dedicated a business to God. I dedicated my career to God in full-time ministry. So just to show you that I'm not saying this is something you should do, but I would never do it. This is something that we should all do. Dedicate to God. What will it be? So today, as we looked at vows, we now know what a vow is. A vow, by definition, is a binding promise to behave in a certain manner or to perform a certain act. And remember, you don't make vows to bargain with God. You can't bargain with God. You've got nothing to offer. He has everything. You got nothing. I got nothing. God takes our vows very seriously, whether we make those vows to Him or to each other. He takes them very seriously. And never forget, the Bible says it's better to not make a vow than to make one and not keep it. We must keep our vows. So here in chapter 27, they could make an animate offering, something alive, whether it was themselves or another person or even animals. And then we saw inanimate offerings, things that were not living, house and land. But we looked at the ultimate vow. God made and paid the ultimate vow in His Son, Jesus Christ, who was a man by symbol an animal, who gave us a house. He is the crop, the bread of life. He is the rock. God has literally given you everything you have. What will you vow to Him in return? What will you dedicate to God today? I don't know the answer. That's between you and God. But I encourage you, dedicate to Him, starting with your heart. This is where it all begins, having a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Give Him your heart. How do I do that? You believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day for you. That's where it all begins. And then from there, God will lead you what He would have you vow or dedicate to Him from your daily life. Receive Christ as Savior. And then obediently follow His leading to vow whatever He calls you to vow to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this lesson. We thank You that You made the ultimate vow and You paid it in Your Son, Jesus Christ. May we follow Your example of making vows and keeping them. And may we dedicate to You that which is most important to us for Your honor and Your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.